radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Text here from 3993. I'd like to get y'all's thoughts. There have been so many NFL changes this offseason. As a fan, I'm hesitant to buy an individual player's merchandise because you don't know how long they will be there. Is it almost better to get a personalized or blank jersey? Do you buy a player's jersey or wait to see if they'll be here for a while?
A lot of people think it's weird to wear the jersey of another grown man.
I don't.
I don't either. I think it's weirder to get the personalized one, though the personalized one will age better. Even me, egomaniac that I have not gotten a Patriots number 42 Gallant on the back jersey. I have not. I don't think I ever will. What you should do is, if you have a franchise quarterback, is get the franchise quarterback one if you're looking for longevity. And guess what? The Houston Texans have CJ Stroud. So that should help you on that front. Once they release the new uniforms, buy away, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you got to wait for the player to make sure they're good. Because I'm sure people bought, if you bought like a John Metchie jersey, you're unhappy with your investment.
Probably a Bama fan.
Yeah, it's like a third round pick.
Exactly.
If you're picking, don't, hey.
You're probably a family member if you're buying a Metchie pick.
Don't buy a third round pick rookie's jersey.
Draft a quarterback.
Make them prove it on the field.
Yeah, first round pick. As soon as a big time prospect makes the majors, buy their jerseys then. Because you're in that moment, you're going to get a 5-6 year run out of that jersey. Frankly, I'd be more annoyed with the fact that now the Texans are finally changing their jerseys. Every other sport changes their jerseys so often, at least outside of Houston. I feel like that's where you mostly want the new thing. Like, if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, you probably have 300 jerseys. They change them every year.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think you got, like, three.
I do have a custom jersey, but we used it for our baby announcement. That's it.
Okay.
So it said it had our last names on it, and then it had a 2022 on it.
That's cute.
On it. But that's it. Besides that, I wouldn't do it.
What year did it have on it?
2021.
Okay.
I said
a couple different years.
I said 2022, and I was like, that's wrong. That's not the year my son was born. He was born in 2021. All right, on that note, let's get to our Astros opening day countdown.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
9 days. 9 days until opening day is here. I can't wait. Obviously, the rotation has been a big question mark for this team. All the conversations have been happening. One update that we just don't have for you that I find a little bizarre is that Yordan Alvarez left the game yesterday after two at-bats. McTaggart, Chandler Rome, all of them, none of them, have tweeted out an update of Yordan Alvarez. He's not in the spring training lineup today. I don't know if that's a good thing or that's a bad thing, maybe a very bad thing or just a nothing burger, but no updates.
Expecting updates. It's like expecting the CIA to fess up to Merck and JFK.
Well, they gave one to about Greg Kessinger. That's why I found it odd.
Yeah, they're only going to give it to you for the people that you don't really care that much about, though.
Yeah, so. Just someone leaves it after two at-bats in a spring training game of Yordan Alvarez's caliber.
He is, though, the poster child for you truly will never know what goes on. And if allergies instead of a foul ball off the foot wasn't the perfect example of that, I don't know what is, but you'll get more this year. Don't worry. You'll get a bunch of weird Alvarez missed game for XYZ.
Hopefully Joe Spott is a little more transparent about why he's out.
I kind of like that they're not transparent. They're trying, one, to make sure that they follow HIPAA rules. And on top of that, it's just funny.
We're going to fast forward today for our Astros opening day countdown a little bit, because this is something that Dana Brown has brought up.
Okay.
Dana Brown has mentioned the trade deadline already this offseason. He has talked about how looking ahead, thinking about what they may or may not need. When you think about the Astros and where they're at right now, and you think forward to the trade deadline, what do you expect to be the talking point of what the Astros need? Is it a bullpen arm, a starter, a center fielder? Where do you think we're headed through this season as the trade deadline eventually gets there?
Bullpen arm. Because it feels like you can always trade for a bullpen guy at the deadline, and right now you don't have, as has been said numerous times by everyone covering the Astros, but most specifically highlighted by Chandler Rome. They do not have relievers, as things currently stand, for the fifth inning if a start doesn't go so well, or the sixth inning. They got some great 7, 8, 9 guys, but you're not going to use those guys every single night as well. So it's middle relief. Who are you going to put into that role? Is Rafael Montero going to bounce back? That's the move that I imagine at the deadline, that if the Astros make one, it's going to be to get another arm like that.
And sometimes you get punished for not looking at tweets, or only looking at tweets, Paul. Mm-hmm. Joe Espada said that was the plan for Yordan Alvarez to leave after only 2 at-bats yesterday.
So, you believe him?
Yeah.
Why do you believe him?
Because he's not going to lie.
It's very convenient. Why isn't he going to lie? This person that you literally have never met in your life, that is the new manager of the Astros.
He's got a great first name.
That's a great reason. Yep. No Joe's lie. What about Joseph Stalin?
All right, touche. I don't know how to cover that one.
He was a Joseph.
Isn't Joe a spot? Joe Espada's not a Joseph?
Do you think?
But I think if you go as Joe, you're a down to earth kind of guy.
How about the? You know what?
I'm helping you out, Joe.
His name's not Joseph.
Let's go on the other side of Joseph's. Let's go from Joseph Stalin to like the most good of all the Josephs. You know, old Jesus' dad. Do you think Joseph was telling everybody that he met that, yeah, my kid's the son of God? You think he was doing that?
Probably not.
But Joe's don't lie.
Joe's don't lie. So Joe Espada said it was the plan for Yordan Alvarez to leave after. I hate giving out false information, so I'm glad. Shout out to my guy Matt in Jeremy's Fantasy Football League, who just DM'd me and said I was wrong.
Look, Joe said that. That doesn't mean that it's 100% the case. I would want to minimize panic as well.
I mean, we do have to. We have to take something. Like, otherwise, we just don't even. We don't even say what they say.
You're allowed That's to be true. Skeptical of it, though, if there was, I don't know, an incident where Alvarez left the game after fouling a ball off his foot that was really because of allergies.
But that's speculation.
Yes.
That's true. No, I'm saying that's Chandler Rome being like, oh, he fouled a ball off his foot and he's out. Therefore, he fouled off his foot. And then the team can go, well, it was actually allergies. And then Rome and McTaggart going, oh, weird that he got pulled after 2 at-bats.
Yeah.
They don't know what the actual plan is.
And then they ask him afterwards, and they said...
Joe Espada knows the plan.
They said that was the plan, but I think with Yordan Alvarez, everything is a little bit trickier, because with Yordan, things get weird. They just do. And I kind of like that part of it from a talking about it on the radio perspective. Gives us something to talk about. We don't have Dusty Baker lineups to criticize anymore.
That's true.
What are we going to do?
Speaking of Yordan Alvarez, they're going to be adding a left fielder at the deadline.
Left fielder. Okay.
I think that's going to be the number one thing, because while they're talking about Yordan Alvarez playing more in left field, I don't buy it. I don't buy the Jake Meyer spring training hype that's out there. I don't buy this Loprofito kid. Maybe. That's
anti-Italian discrimination.
Maybe he will be good.
I remember Justin Dearden.
Exactly. Justin Dearden couldn't play in Sugar Land last year at times, and he was the apple of everyone's eye last year in spring training. So it's going to be left field is what I think they're going to be looking to most add at the deadline this year.
Man, you're just doubting old Joey Loprofito, whose full name is Mario Joey Loprofito.
Oh, whoa. So he's not even to Joe.
Yeah.
That's a middle name, Joe. Is that weird when people just go by their middle name instead of their actual first name?
I imagine being born in Philadelphia, as he was in the 90s, you're going to have a bunch of people going up to you saying, it's-a-me, a Mario. I mean, that would get annoying, right?
Also, his dad might be named Mario.
That's true, too.
You just go by your middle name to differentiate. I know a couple people.
He's a Joey. Have you ever been a Joey?
Very briefly.
You didn't like it, it sounds like.
Very briefly.
You seem very annoyed by it.
You didn't like the way it fit.
I like 2 cousins who still call me Joey from when I was a kid. It's so weird.
Do you get called Joseph?
My wife calls me Joseph.
Does she call you Joseph because that's what she always calls you, or does she call you Joseph sometimes?
Sometimes, when I get
yelled
at.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's up, Joseph?
You know, the funny thing about, and the one thing we didn't think about when naming our kid Joseph, was that if I get yelled at, he cries. because he thinks he's getting yelled at.
Hey, you win as a team, you lose as a team.
It's true. Right? So we're a team. So I get yelled at, he cries. That's what happens. Sean, what do you think? When you look at the deadline, what are the Astros going after?
Those are the two positions that I was also thinking. Bullpen, because of what Paul said, that's like the cheapest to add. So there's like a lower barrier of investment that you need to make, especially shopping in the aisles that the Astros are going to shop in, that you can just get a expiring contract guy to pitch the
exactly
sixth and seventh innings sometimes. And yeah, it really falls on, can Jake Meyers produce to a level that is acceptable, or else bump Chaz back to center field and you get a left fielder. That's another one where you could, in theory, trade for a center fielder, but that would probably be more expensive if you're looking for someone that can swing it too. So, you know, the Luis Roberts of the world, probably out of your price range, I would think. But, you know, Jim Crane's has surprised us this offseason. But I think those are the two spots where, without knowing an injury that might occur during the season, those are the two holes in the roster that aren't really like that big of holes, but there's some places to shore up when you're looking to make a run.
I mean, cause starting pitching, like, that's when you're going to have the biggest deadline of, or biggest acquisition of the trade deadline was the return of Lance McCullers and Luis Garcia. So,
yeah, but if they don't sign anyone here in the next couple weeks, if they don't sign the Lorenzens or the Montgomerys, they might need to, if one of those arms goes down, like we've already seen with Urquidy, or if, you know, Belak and Blanco aren't as ice cold as they were last year.
Someone on the Twitch, I can't remember if it was Poncho or who it was, but suggested that, or just said, don't worry, Jim Crane will trade for Blake Snell at the deadline anyway. That would be funny. If he just goes full like Justin Verlander 2.0, yeah. Doesn't get Blake Snell, who he wanted last year at the deadline, and the Giants stink this year.
Third time's the charm.
And they bring him back. They just trade for him this offseason.
Is there a pitcher on the Padres that he could trade for? Because he loves himself some Padres.
He does. Pitchers.
He does. Well, didn't the Padres just sign someone recently?
They trade for Cease.
That's right.
Dylan Cease.
So maybe Dylan Cease at the deadline. That's who. I mean, he's a rental for a couple of months. I mean, that would be a pretty good move. All right. A surprising shot at the Texans, I thought, from one of their now former defensive linemen. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So yesterday the Texans uniforms leaked on Twitter. I don't think either of us saw the actual photo until the show had ended.
Correct. Because first, Joe, there was a leak of somebody standing in what looked like a loading dock.
Yes.
Wearing a helmet, jersey, and shoulder pads. However, this person looked comically small, whether it was due to the shoulder pads, his height, I don't know. But everyone saw it and thought to themselves, wait, this is the rebrand?
And it looked bad.
Because of who was wearing it.
He looked like a Pop Warner football player.
Yeah, also, I told Paul this before the show. I don't think that leak is totally inaccurate, though.
You did say that.
My
gut instinct was, this is not it. Someone's trying to get some clicks.
When I worked at Lids, one thing I learned very quickly is that there's two basic jerseys you can buy at like Lids or Academy or one of these places. There's the $150 jersey, which is the number stitched and it looks closer to the real thing. And then there's the $100 jersey, which is a screen print. The numbers are never the same size. And I think that this jersey that leaked out might be the cheaper version of what you could buy at the store.
So you're saying this is a rogue Dick's Sporting Goods employee You're pointing the finger at Academy Sports and Outdoors.
Perhaps. I don't know if they have the jerseys yet. I was snooping around to see if I could get some photos of the other ones, and they said they don't have them yet.
NFL Team Shop or something?
Yeah. It just seems like this is the cheaper version that – my guess is somewhere in the – this is a Texans employee who took this too.
Oh,
I did enjoy
employee?
Like Titus Howard's. Like they were just like, who is this guy?
The only person that could post that would seemingly be a rogue Texans employee who maybe, being big brain, had a friend – put that on so that he would not face any accountability for his actions to get a few likes and retweets.
But the leak happened, so then Kyle McNair on Reddit, obviously, intelligently, I like this move, just posted the real things.
Whoever's doing PR for the Texans is doing a fantastic job, because I think Cal posting this on Texans Reddit, like, hey guys, look what I got underneath my trench coat, and showing you these jerseys with Tank Dell and Nico Collins wearing it, looked a lot better.
It looks a lot better. Now, I think they look clean.
I'm not a fan. I don't like them.
Oh, really?
I think that they should have kept the numbers red or kept the same font that they had on the old numbers. And I also was of the belief that the colors, I guess, were going to get brighter. I don't know why I thought that, though, because I remember when they brought us behind the scenes for the first look at what the uniform might be, they told us, no, we're going to go in the opposite direction. We're going to put a darker blue out there. It looks like, I'm going to use a Gen Z saying here, it's giving horny Atlanta Falcons. And I say horny because there are horns now on the shoulders.
Yeah.
And there seems to be an H logo that we were not quite able to see next to the horns. You know what? Incorporate more horns. I'm a big fan of that. I heard there's another horn that's potentially getting incorporated into a different uniform. But for this one, the away uniforms, the most boring of all the ones that are going to be released from what I understand, I am not the biggest fan of these.
Gut feeling these will be the least purchased.
Yes.
Because this is one of four new jerseys. They're going to have a red helmet. They're going to have three other color combinations. I thought we were going to get the H-Town blue incorporated in some of the each of the jerseys.
From what I understand, and I heard this through somebody who heard it, so keep in mind.
This is through the grapevine.
Through the grapevine with a grapevine adjacent to it. There is one uniform that is going to incorporate the as they call it, Italian blue.
Okay.
Instead of Columbia blue.
Okay.
Joey Luperfito would love it.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's going to be more of the same. One of the helmets has an interesting wrinkle that is different than the old Texans logo. And this away uniform is, as Sean says, as you probably know, Joe, like probably going to be the most boring one that's released.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they gave us a little sneak peek, you know?
It looks like I told this to Dell this morning when we talked about it. It looks like someone could have made this jersey in Madden, and not in the last 24 hours, but in the last 20 years of Madden.
Yeah, I see that.
It's like just – it is very similar to their current road or the road white uniforms, except numbers change the color, a little bit different of a font, and really you just are rotating the stripe to look more like a horn. It's like not even really that much different. I was a little disappointed because, like, I think Paul, you were the one that told me this, so I think we both were just kind of like feeding each other bad information.
Definitely.
That I thought they were also going to go away from deep steel blue and go with a lighter, you know, more blue kind of blue, in addition to the H-Town blue that they've teased.
But now it's midnight blue.
Oh.
I don't like that.
I like deep steel blue as a
I know.
Brand.
Folks hardworking.
But it's maybe
like
the
people.
So is it not Liberty White anymore?
I think it's still Liberty White and Battle Red and deep steel blue, but it's a deeper steel blue.
They just changed deep steel blue?
They made deep steel blue deeper. And bluer.
They're going deeper.
Actually, more, I guess, blacker? I don't know.
Yeah?
It was a blacker version of blue.
I don't know.
Just darker blue, I guess.
Okay, so
let's look close to black. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I like these first ones. I'm curious what the other three will look like. My guess is they all will leak besides the H-Town blue one before April 23rd.
I think this might have been a strategic leak.
They knew they were getting crushed on social media.
Exactly. That's why they did it. And to have Cal do it, again, whoever's doing the Texas PR is doing a good job.
Well, I think they also got lucky. That was the worst jersey that got leaked first.
Yeah.
Because now it's going to, like, they're going to take the hit, or not really hit, because I don't think anyone is like, well, no. People are definitely trashing this because people will trash anything.
Yes.
But I think for us, this is the one where we're just kind of like, meh, all right. But again, this is pure speculation. I imagine the more drastic changes are coming with the three remaining ones that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that adds a level of like kind of build up to April 23rd when they're going to announce them.
So the other thing that's kind of was out there today, Sheldon Rankins did an interview after he signed with the Cincinnati Bengals, and he gave us a surprising little quote here. He said when he was asked about, you know, going to Cincinnati and why he likes the idea of being a Bengal, he said, quote, "Stability, a place that wants me as not just part of the next 6 month plan, but of the future, and a team that wants to win." To really win it all. The first part of this, the 6 month plan, that doesn't surprise me. That's Robo Caserio, 1 to 2 year plan, not long term guys. He's not going to keep them here. He's not going to sugarcoat it. If you're not part of the future of this team and wants to give you a 3-4 year contract like he would do to Nico Collins or Will Anderson, CJ Stroud, and those guys, I don't think he's going to sugarcoat you. And some guys won't take that well. It sounds like Rankins is not.
I think there's some sour feelings here.
Yeah.
I bet being a part of this in year one, you're excited to potentially go back for a second year. But, I mean, that is who Sheldon Rankins is at this point in his career. This is not a guy that you're looking at as a long-term answer on your defensive line. You want him as long as he's good, but you also are of the mindset that the cliff is coming. So I can understand having comments that could be interpreted as shots against the Houston Texans. Because, yeah, of course there's going to be some sour feelings. I bet he thought he was going to end up coming back here, especially if you take a look at the defensive line depth or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to get a long-term deal. I guess the Bengals were willing to give him that, and we'll see how he does there. To his credit, I mean, he is on a team that has been to a Super Bowl recently and can more seriously say, we are a Super Bowl contender because of that. It could change next year. Texans could be better. They could elevate themselves to the top tier of the AFC. But where we're at right now, what Sheldon Rankin said, it's not all that wrong. And it is a bit of a shot, but it's not a massive shot.
The second part is really what just surprises me that he would even say this. The idea just to say that he's now part of a team that wants to win, to really win it all. I don't know if that's a shot.
That's a little salty.
Because that's we're watching all with our eyes and watching Kyle McNair's pocketbook empty with players. The Texans are clearly trying to win, maybe in a way that they shouldn't be. Maybe being more patient and still building and not trying to go from a 10-win team to a, you know, AFC championship team in year two would be the smarter play. But they're clearly, so clearly, putting their foot on the gas and trying to accelerate this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, if they had stood pat in free agency or done what, ironically, the Bengals have done in the past, yeah, they would be getting crushed if there wasn't a Danielle Hunter move or a Autry move or some of the other things that we've seen go down. So it's interesting to see Rankins react this way. But I imagine Rankins, to defend him a little bit, to play devil's advocate, he thinks to himself, well, if a team wants to win a Super Bowl, they're going to sign me.
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
The Texans aren't doing that. So, I mean, this team's serious.
Yeah.
These are the things you tell yourself. These are the chips that athletes put on their shoulders.
Yeah, and there's something about Cincinnati Bengals and bringing in defensive tackles that the Texans don't want anymore. They do DJ Reader.
DJ Reader was very good for them.
Yeah, and I think, do you like the Reader going to the Lions more or Rankins going to the Bengals more?
Reader to the Lions.
Reader's, I think so, too. Him next to Aiden Hutchinson should be nasty.
Mm.
I'm very curious about the Detroit Lions next year. The more I think about the NFC, the more confused I am about who's going to be good in that conference.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I don't.
Why don't you buy into the Lions?
I hate them.
Why do you hate them?
You know what? I don't hate them.
I figured you wouldn't care about them. They are probably to you
right
what
now
the Bills were to me.
Like, right now
I didn't think
jealous
about them.
Yeah, jealous is
right
the,
now. I'm jealous. I think normally
that,
I feel
that's
nothing.
What it really is. It's jealous, especially yeah the way they do it too.
Yeah, and honestly, most of my disdain for the Lions is more just as a football fan when they were so bad and we had to watch them on Thanksgiving every year. And I'm just like,
yeah,
can we put other teams on?
Oh, like the Bears and multiple primetime games every year?
I'm with you guys on that. I support that. I support that message too. Take the Bears off primetime.
I am with you though with the Lions. It was. I mean, even this year when the Lions are good, they still got their asses kicked.
Yeah.
The first game on Thanksgiving.
You know what? I believe in the Lions this year. I think they can make the Super Bowl this year. I think they're my NFC pick.
Well, if Sean's right, this weekend.
Where should I put a bet? Is there a place I could put a future bet on that?
There is somewhere. This what? Weekend, Sean, myself, Brian McDonald, we're heading to Le Bourge in Lake Charles. We're going to be doing a show. We're taking the show on the road. We're doing the bullpen from noon to 3 at Le Bourge Lake Charles on Saturday. So Sean wants to place a future on the Lions going to the Super Bowl to face the Texans. I'm sure it would be a big payout for him if you wanted to do that. But the sportsbook at Le Bourge Lake Charles is your go-to spot for betting and watching all your favorite Texas teams. Le Bourge at Lake Charles features a 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 22 slot machines, dining and drink specials, and plus they have 45 TVs for watching games. Le Bourge Lake Charles is the premier destination getaway for Texans. They even have Crawfordbach on tap for you there. Become a Penn Play Reward member to get rewards for your stay and enjoy perks while you play. If you're not a member, join today by downloading the Penn Play app. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. Plan your next trip like Sean, myself, and Brian are doing this weekend to Le Bourge Casino Resort Lake Charles. Download the Penn Play app and start earning rewards today.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Paul, Joe, Sean here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean was getting so excited about thinking he was going to bet on the Lions versus the Texans in the Super Bowl, he forgot it was time for the 10-minute drill.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
We'll start with our friend Willie on the Twitch. He has a question for us. Texans over-under night games this year. We had set it at like 4.5 when we talked about it once. I want to bump it down to 3.5.
You're bumping it down?
Yeah, more I thought about it.
You said over.
I know. I'm going to backtrack just a little. I think they're going to get 4.
Is it because of the uniforms?
No.
Why are you backtracking?
No. There's a lot of good matchups this year in the NFL, and I don't know how much they'll focus on.
Oh, I don't like this. I don't like you backing off of this take.
Yeah, I'm backing down to 4.
No, be optimistic. We can't both be thinking they're not going to get enough primetime games.
4 is pretty good. 4 from 0?
But you're changing the number to 3.5 now.
Well, that's what the over-under is. It's 3.5.
I'm saying they're going to get over, but it's 3.5. How about that? We just swap places.
No, I'm taking the over 3.5.
Naysayer Joe here.
I'm not taking the over 4.5.
Crooked Joe.
I mean, there are a lot of crooked Joes in the world.
I thought they never lied.
Aaron Donald, he retired.
He did.
That was surprising. No, was it? Because there was rumors like 2 years ago that this might be happening. And then he finally just retired out of nowhere this weekend.
It's definitely good for every quarterback in the NFL, 100%.
And I love Kyler Murray saying, thank goodness.
I think every quarterback would have said that. You know, we had on Friday a conversation about how obviously we're biased here in Houston, but there are a lot of people here who would say that J.J. Watt at his peak was better than Aaron Donald. I know I'm biased in admitting that, but an interesting note, because Watt used to get dinged for getting all of his sacks against all of the many scrub quarterbacks that have been in the AFC South, like Blaine Gabbert and Jake Locker, among others. But if you look at Aaron Donald's sacks...
I was like, who's good in the NFC West Aaron Donald's entire career?
Well, Mr. Unlimited sacks every single season, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald sacked the bejesus out of that guy. So if you want to, you know, put an asterisk next to J.J. Watt's accomplishments, you could do the same thing with Aaron Donald. He's constantly sacking a short at QB.
I think it's pretty close between the two guys. Their numbers, when you look at them, are nearly identical. The reason why
Donald won a Super Bowl, and he thus wins the argument, even though it's perhaps weird to do that with defensive players.
But they're both three-time defensive players of the year. The numbers are so, so similar. The biggest difference is obviously Aaron Donald's doing it from the inside versus J.J. Watt on the outside. So I guess that could make Aaron Donald's more impressive.
Yeah, I guess. Undersized, too.
Yeah.
Donald, a smaller guy. I think Donald's barely pushing 6 feet tall. What's noteworthy about both of these guys was that they were taken out of the top 10. I mean, Watt's the 11th overall pick. Donald's the 14th overall pick. And if you're any of the franchises that were picking before in those drafts, I mean, man, you biffed.
You did, but could you imagine draft day if the Texans were taking Aaron Donald number one? I feel like that would not have gone over.
Here's a 6 foot tall defensive tackle from Pitt. Sorry we didn't get Clowney.
Yeah.
But does it matter?
No, because in the end,
but it's the situation where it's like, okay, then you should have drafted like Giannis or Jokic number one in their drafts. And it's like, in hindsight, yes, but there's zero people walking the earth that would have done it.
Yeah.
Especially with your job on the line.
It almost felt, though, like the public consensus peer pressured them into taking Clowney first overall. Well, you got to take Clowney. None of the quarterbacks are great. You did theoretically have alternatives.
Yeah, they could.
Sadly, the Texans' alternative was supposedly Blake Bortles.
Yeah, they could have. Yeah, they could have done Bortles. That would have been. They could have done Khalil Mack, a pass rusher from Buffalo University.
Exactly.
Like the.
He did get brought up a lot, though,
towards
the draft.
Yeah, he did get brought up. He did get brought up.
That was my first year of sports radio. That was daily sports radio. That was my rookie year, yeah. Yeah, and I remember, like, wait, we got to talk about the draft every day? And this was the year where the draft was, like, the first week of May. So you had to wait an extra week for no reason at all. And I was so angry about
that. The 14 draft also was not that good.
No, it was not.
Looking back, or the top of it, wasn't that interesting.
No, like, Cleo Mack and Aaron Donald are definitely two of the best players in that draft. And Clowney was a good player.
He was.
I mean, even leading into it, it's like Paul was saying, where if it's not Clowney, it's like, well, could it be Blake Bortles? And it's gross. Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
2014's draft featured fourth overall Sammy Watkins going to the Bills.
Oh, was Odell in that one?
Odell Beckham Jr., yes.
12th.
Mike Evans, 7th.
Yeah, so all the good guys were after the 5th pick? Or Khalil Mack, and then after the 5th
pick? Well, yeah, because Greg Robinson, pick number 2, didn't do much. Blake Bortles and Sammy Watkins after Clowney.
What a top 4.
Clowney, by far, the best of those 4 at the top of the draft.
By a lot. Greg Robinson stunk.
Mm-hmm.
We should do this every day. Just look at an old draft from
I don't mind it,
10
actually.
Years ago.
You learn more than talking about the draft that's about to happen.
Guess who went 20th overall in that draft?
I don't know. Oh, the Archer?
The Archer, Brandon Cooks.
Wow, first
Texans pick. Legend. Who went 22nd overall in that draft?
Is that Manziel?
It was Manziel.
Oh,
when he said 20th, I thought Manziel. I was like, I think it was a little bit later.
Man, it would have been so funny if Manziel lasted to the back of the first round and the Dallas Cowboys had taken him.
Should the Texans have taken Derek Carr at 33 in that draft? Because Bridgewater goes 32 to the Vikings.
Yeah. They took Xavier Suafilo, who never played.
Yeah, I don't think you can because of the last name. If it was any other, if he had any other last name, my guess is Derek Carr would have been taken by the Texans at 33.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I mean, in 16, Carr was great, and then he got hurt before the playoffs. And it was Connor Cook against Osweiler in the playoffs for the Texans.
Oh, yeah. Texans head to head went farther in the playoffs than Derek Carr.
Yeah,
it's true. RG3 says the Caleb Williams should demand a trade. Or demand to not be picked by the Bears.
I think it's a good point.
To be a commie.
Very good point.
Fact. You have to join an A-plus organization like the Washington Redskins.
That is the funny part. That RG3 is standing up for the commies.
The organization he just dumps on all the time.
Right. And he thinks that the Commanders are, I guess, better run now than the Bears?
That's Justin Fields bias setting in, is what that is.
Yeah?
He thinks that they should not have got rid of Justin.
Gotcha, okay.
My guess is if most people are telling you that Caleb Williams should be demanding a trade to not go to Chicago, it's because they thought Justin Fields was a good quarterback.
It's also a little bit of, like, it's us on the outside going, Caleb Williams feels like the type.
Yeah.
He's the type that would, you know?
He does. He definitely feels like he's the first guy since Eli Manning that I thought that this was actually on the table.
Where would you rather go if you're a neutral party between those two? Because I think, for me, it is Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
Oh.
And pretty obviously.
Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift. Like, that alone on offense.
Not Dan Quinn.
Yeah, you're way better off.
Yeah, and just like, I don't know. I feel like the Bears have, their fan base is apathetic, but like you're seeing with Justin Fields, like if you're good a little bit, if you're good even for a couple games, they're going to love you.
If like, you're the good bar for like five so Twitter low, highlights.
The bar is so low. Like, I don't think RG3 gets the kind of love that Justin Fields gets.
And he should. He was the rookie of the year.
It was good for like,
he was awesome until that game where he was clearly hurt against the Seahawks and they left him. His rookie season, yes, he was better than Justin Fields ever was and ever will be.
Absolutely. Not close. I loved RG3.
He was great his first year. You know, we didn't know what a weirdo he was.
Yeah.
You know, he's got some Russell Wilson vibes himself. I think didn't someone call him a cornball brother?
Yes. So,
and Rob Parker?
They got fired for saying that. Yeah, so yeah. I'm glad you said it.
The way his knee bent that one time.
Oh, God, so gross. Yeah.
Just from the awful field in Washington.
Apparently, they like were just putting in sand at some point.
That field is brutal. Like, anything, you have major injuries. Alex Smith, RG3.
It's also funny that we're comparing it to the Soldier Field.
Which is also
turf,
awful.
Which is terrible.
But Soldier Field, like, catches ACLs. Washington's field feels like it ruins lives. Alex Smith almost lost his leg.
That is true.
Like, J.J. Watt's fault. Jalen Hurts is awesome. There was a high school football player that was shot and killed last week. And Jalen Hurts stepped up, and he's paying for the funeral. Awesome thing. Jalen Hurts, one of the good guys in the NFL. Just another example of that.
Yep. We were on the Eagles bandwagon a couple of years ago when the Texans were struggling because we liked Jalen Hurts a lot. That is a very cool gesture. Jarvin Coles, just 18 years old, died on March 9th at a Houston house party. This is a guy who got a 4.1 GPA, also was playing at North Shore, which is one of the best football programs in the Houston area. Ugh, awful. So very cool move by Jalen Hurts. And also, this is, I mean, somewhat tragedy related, but everyone who donated to the GoFundMe we talked about yesterday for the Fred Fowler's funeral, shout out to you guys. We love our ESPN 97.5, 92.5 community, and especially all you blitzers out there who have stuck with us. That was really cool to see just everyone coming together one more time around Fred, who truly was an awesome, awesome dude.
Yeah, I cleared the 10,000 yesterday.
And really cool.
And you know what? And after today, after we sign off at 6 o'clock here on the station, if you haven't done so yet, I also recommend going to Barry Laminack's YouTube channel and Twitch.
Yes, he did a great tribute last night.
4-hour tribute show to Fred.
It was awesome.
Todd's in it. David Gow's in it. So many people, you know, Jerome, Jong, AJ, I apologize, but Fred's first co-host of the Blitz, they're all in it. It's great.
I caught a little bit of it, and I have it saved to listen to the rest of it tonight.
Yeah, so thank you again. Like, they're almost at $11,000 for the GoFundMe. It's still open right now, still on our Twitter account, at ESPN975. So thank you to everyone who donated to that, like Paul said. That it's very, very
awesome
much
stuff.
Appreciated. It's Gallant and George here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
It's that time again. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 6th annual Bracket Madness is here. We're giving away tons of prizes this year worth over $50, and it is all free. Prizes include a gift basket from General Ben valued at $200, a $50 gift card for Star Pizza, East River 9, Republic Boot Company, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to register right now. We're kicking off March Madness ourselves this week with a couple of remote broadcasts. See, Thursday we'll be live at Carbach Brewing. Wednesday we're going to be at Wakefield Crowbar, us cool. and the Killer Bees. So tomorrow.
Play a little volleyball?
Eh.
What? You want to play volleyball? I'll wear jeans. I'll take my shirt off and I'll oil up.
I will not wear jeans. I'll keep my shirt on. We'll play, I will not oil up, but we can play a little
bit. We'll play Playing with the Boys by Kenny Loggins.
A little one-on-one.
Just reenact Top Gun. Yeah, come on.
So we'll be at Wakefield Crowbar tomorrow. We're getting ready for March Madness with you guys. We'll be at Carbach Brewing on Thursday from noon to 6. And then Friday, we're going to be at Nick's Place all day. So John and Lance all the way through the Killer Bees on Friday at Nick's Place, Thursday at Carbach, and Wednesday at Wakefield Crowbar. So Paul, what were we talking about here? I got distracted. Oh, I know.
Sports?
I know.
What's that?
Anthony Edwards. He killed someone last night. Oh, my God. Court looked like.
So, I heard conversation this morning both with John and Lance and with Dell about how we maybe are a little bit too quick on the trigger finger when it comes to hyperbole, saying things like touchdown of the year or home run of the year and dunk of the year. But holy crap, that was the coolest dunk I can remember in a regular season basketball game.
It was awesome. It reminded me of Blake Griffin.
Yeah. Because Edwards jumps from very close to the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he dunked, he wasn't near the basket. His arm somehow just throws it like he's a pitcher into the hoop, and it looks like his hand hit the rim. And it looked like he hit it so hard that he actually injured his finger, and I guess he did. He dislocated it in the moment. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. It's the coolest thing that you're probably going to see in sports this week.
The funniest part is the dislocated finger was dislocated because the best part of the dunk is how violent it is and how violent it looks. And he dislocated his left ring finger, and he went up with his right hand. So that means he dislocated his left finger on John Collins' face. is how he hit John Collins with so much force they dislocate his finger, and John Collins also left the game with a head injury.
I think my favorite part was his teammates' reaction, just like right whoever was the player right behind Collins mm-hmm. and Edwards right as it happened. He puts his hands on his face, just like opens his mouth like wide yeah. open. And he's like, yeah. like what just happened? Like having that reaction on the basketball court from one of your own teammates was awesome.
Even better when after the game, the I guess home network for the yeah. Timberwolves, they show him the highlight, and I mean Anthony Edwards' reaction to it was also really funny. We can't say what he said on the radio. In fact, we just can't say it, period, because we're white people. But he said
that's true.
He said he dropped that bomb. Then he says too short, and then he just runs off. Oh my God, it was. I mean, he's the best. I wish he was a Rocket so bad. I know that's not ever going to happen, but that man deserves better than playing with Carl Anthony Towns. You wouldn't. What's the percentage chance that Anthony Edwards asks for a trade to the Houston Rockets?
I mean, I would say it's 50-50 he demands a trade out of Minnesota at some point because it's Minnesota.
I think it's 50-50. Like, I think it's like 75-25. Yeah,
probably. Like, he's not going to play in Minnesota's whole career.
That's not Minnesota specific.
I
look around the league, there's a lot of, hey, this isn't going to be his last stop.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards is not going to be a Minnesota Timberwolves entire career. No, you're probably 3 or 4 years away at a
yeah.
bare minimum from him demanding that trade. But so I wouldn't say it's totally impossible. He's a Houston Rocket one day.
We need this to happen.
He might be my favorite player in the NBA.
Just very fun.
Everything he does, his intensity on offense and defense. He's just a fun player to watch.
And I like fun.
He's definitely the best or the most fun. I think my favorite as well. So I'll say the show's favorite under like 28 basketball
yeah.
player. Under
yeah.
28 years old basketball player. That he's like exactly what you want out of a star is that he's A, an insane athlete, insanely good, just full stop. B, seems to be a competitor, and C, is like so unfiltered.
Very honest, very authentic, successfully pulled off in a movie playing a villain.
Yeah.
And was like the star of that movie.
Okay, playing a villain in a movie.
He was he's a good actor too.
Yeah. There's just a lot of, and not just basketball players, but a lot of just famous people. I think The Rock, most famously of all, he will not sign up for a movie if he's the bad guy mm-hmm. in the movie. He will also not sign up for a movie if he loses a fight at any time during
the
movie.
There's a lot of guys. That makes the Fast and Furious franchise really tricky. Like, Jason Statham has a contract like that. Yeah. Vin Diesel has a contract like that.
Yeah. So, like, they're all the bad guys for, like, a half a movie.
Basically.
Jason Statham, I guess he was a bad guy for at least one full movie.
Yeah, no, the can't lose a fight.
Can't lose
contract.
A fight.
Yeah, that's in basically all their contracts. So you get weird situations like in Fast Five where they fight to a draw.
Yes,
almost. It's very weird. And then they just like, I think I've made my point.
Yeah, I guess like in that first scene when Vin Diesel and Jason Statham's cars when they go head to head and they fight.
Yeah, it's a draw
for the first time
because the garage falls on Jason Statham after.
Think about.
Because the CIA shows up.
Well, yeah. And Toretto also, you know, delivers the iconic line, "Think about a street fight. The street always wins," before using a metal pole to cause a cement garage to collapse.
Yeah, and then I guess in Hobbs and Shaw, when they fight in the prison.
Yeah.
They fight to a draw.
They fight to a draw when they get out.
There's always a draw.
Interesting.
No one ever wins. I wonder if the guy who plays Jack Reacher on the Prime TV show, who is now in the Fast and Furious franchise, if he has found his way into that conversation as well, where he can't lose a fight.
Gotta have some pelts on the wall.
Yeah, man, he put Oreos in his butt cheeks for Blue Mountain State. Huh? You got a while to go.
A while ago. That was a fantastic acting performance.
It was, but like, that's what I still see Blue Mountain State when I watch it.
What he's saying is that you don't think there's The Rock. The Rock is decades away from the last time he had to do something degrading camera.
What was that fairy movie The Rock was in?
The Tooth Fairy?
It was a Tooth Fairy?
I think so.
He was in some bad movies.
Vin Diesel was also in The Pacifier, which
that's
is
true.
Basically the same movie.
They were. And then the other thing in the NBA we got yesterday, I thought this was a joke. I thought it was an Onion article or NBA Central, because that's a new parody account of this one. But NBA Central tweeted out this quote yesterday from DeAndre Ayton. Basically, long story short, he says he didn't play well the first half of the season because he was sleeping on an air mattress. What an idiot.
Yeah, it's hard to...
How'd you admit this?
So I understand the idea that you can order a bed and it might take a while. That's really the only counter argument I have in DeAndre Ayton's defense.
He's a million. He must.
He is a huge human being as well. So it's not like
multimillionaire.
But okay, if you go to the bed store, do they have a bed that big available for him to take home immediately?
Buy two normal beds and put them together.
But that doesn't sound comfortable.
Well, no, I'm saying for a short term solution, figure it out. Stay at a hotel in Portland.
I will say, as someone who, when I moved, he has more money, so things should be a little bit easier for him.
It's close, though.
We're very similar in terms of our overall salaries. But as someone who did have an air mattress for the first month that I was back here in Houston because the movers took so long, I mean, it's not great. It's not great sleeping on an air mattress. And my cat kept on getting up on top of it, and she would, you know, get excited, and it would pop. Yeah, she popped like three air mattresses.
So that's great.
I go to bed one night. I figure, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a nice night on the air mattress. And I wake up like just sunk in a big thing of vinyl.
He must have thought he was getting traded. That's the only like logical explanation to why he was sleeping on an air mattress.
I mean, he did seem like he was going to get traded for a hot minute.
He's playing awful. Now he's playing really good basketball. But the other part about this, too, that it just reminds me. One time Shaquille O'Neal was on one of the late night shows, mm-hmm. and he told a story about how when he got traded to Phoenix, he showed up to a Walmart and spent like 5 G's at Walmart, and like his car got declined because all he did when he got there was buy beds, TVs. He furnished an entire apartment at Walmart. DeAndre Ayton, just don't sleep on an air mattress, dude. And then when you don't play well, don't blame it on that. It's bizarre behavior, but whatever.
Where should he sleep, though? I do think there are logistical obstacles, I think, to him potentially getting.
Yeah, look, I'm 5'6". I don't understand the problems.
You definitely don't.
I don't. He's like double my height almost at this point, it feels like. All right. Is Hunter Brown the solution for not getting Blake Snell? We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN. 97.5.